say, U.S. servicemen, maybe start to think about the present value of your past experience in the armed forces. Well, every veteran should think about that, because prior service is very important. And here's why. If you've had previous service in the armed forces, you can benefit from the new advantages available under the Air Force's liberalized re-enlistment policy. There are wonderful opportunities today for you ex-servicemen, you prior service veterans in the U.S. Air Force. If you're skilled in a needed job, you may select your initial assignment in the U.S. or an overseas command. If you do not have a needed skill, you may be given an aptitude test, and before enlisting, be guaranteed technical training in a needed skill. In other words, you can't lose. Besides this, you get a paid 30-day delay in reporting, if requested. So, if you're a veteran of any service, better get full details from your nearest Air Force recruiter. You'll see why today and tomorrow you're better off in the United States Air Force. Now back to Harry Isner. Willie Mays, after only 5 seasons in the major leagues, has been pointed up in hundreds of stories for the wonders he performs on the baseball diamond. He's been publicized and embraced in so many personal shrines that people expect him to perform a miracle a day. If he doesn't, and there are days when he doesn't, he is a disappointment. Again and again during the 1955 baseball season, the statement was published and repeated that Willie Mays was having a bad year. This was accepted rather widely. The repetition carries conviction. So it was a surprise to some when they checked the figures at the end of the season to learn that Willie had batted 319 in 152 games and walloped 51 home runs to lead both leagues. Mays really did experience a bad year for him in 1956 when the Giants dropped from third to sixth in the standings. His batting average dipped all the way down to 295 and his home run total fell to 36. The fact that such hitters as Duke Snyder, Gus Bell, and Eddie Matthews had lower batting averages than he, that such stalwart struggles as Ted Kaczynski, Henry Aaron, Sam Musial, and Ernie Banks hit fewer homers, and that such fine touch hitters as Carl Cirillo, Wally Moon, and rookie Frank Robinson drove in less runs didn't mean a thing. The fans just expect more from Willie. Willie Mays can do everything and do it better than most ball players. No matter what aspect of play is mentioned, Willie excels in it. If it is his fielding or his arm that is brought up for review, there is always the story of the impossible catch and throw he made to Mayor Billy Cox of Brooklyn at home plate the season before he went into the service. Or the superlative back to the plate catch he made on Dick Wirt in the 1954 World Series. When it comes to hitting, we have the word of Frankie Fish, the Cardinal Hall of Famer, that Mays can hit the ball as hard and as far as Mickey Mantle. Until then, we can settle for Willie's 132 home runs and his last three complete seasons in the majors. His 321 RBIs during the same period and his league-leading 345 batting average in his first full season with the Giants. As for running, see that Willie Mays could steal 26 bases in 28 attempts, as he did in 1955. And steal 38 the next year to become the only player in baseball history to hit more than 30 homers and steal more than 30 bases in one season. Willie Mays was called up by the New York Giants on May 24, 1951. He joined the club in Philadelphia and in his first three games failed to make a hit. In fact, he didn't get a hit until his 12th time at bat. As you might expect, it was a home run. And as you might expect again, it came off none other than Warren Spahn, just about the best left-hander in the league. 3 months later, Willie Mays made a play which established him more than any other single thing he ever did in the majors. The Dodgers were tied with the Giants. It was the eighth inning. Runners were on first and third. One man was out. And Carl Cirillo was the batter when Mays came through. Cirillo lost a long drive into right center field. And it was only after a long, frantic sprint that Willie was able to steal the ball. The catch was spectacular in itself. But Billy Cox, the Dodger runner on third, tried to score after the catch. Mays had made the catch facing the right field foul line, about as far a position from which to throw home as can be imagined for a right-handed outfielder. But Willie pivoted violently to his left, whipped his arm around and cut loose. The throw carried to the plate on the fly, and Cox, who could run well, was retired on the end of a seemingly impossible double play. It was, by Willie's own description,
the perfectest throw I ever made. Funny noise that John Terry's tell you is good for what ails you. His personal magnetism lights up the entire team. Whether he is the butt of a joke, which is often, or working a gag of his own, he never fails to break up the clubhouse balance. In his rookie year, Mays put life into a club that didn't have 5 cents worth of color. He kept the Giants laughing and didn't mind when the laugh was on him. One time, Earl Rapp, a former teammate, offered to race Willie for $5. Willie raced away from Rapp to win easily. When he asked for the money, Rapp explained to the bewildered youngster his teammate, Lord, I offered to race you for $5. That beats you. You owe me $5. A conservative estimate of Willie Mays' worth to the Giants is some $500,000 to $750,000. The Giants got him for $10,000 and were lucky to get him at all. They weren't looking for Mays when they found him, and when he was discovered by New York, the Boston Braves were already searching for him. It happened in 1950 when Bill Harris and Eddie Montague were scouting the New York Cubans, a Negro team, for a first baseman. They caught up with the Cubans in Birmingham, Alabama. That night, Jack Schwartz, Carl Hubbell's aide and player procurement, had a call from Montague. He had forgotten all about the Cubans. He had seen Mays and recommended he be perfect. While the Braves had time to make up their minds, the Giants stepped in and gave Tom Hayes, the Baron's owner, $10,000 for the rights to Willie Mays. When he first came up with the New York Giants, Willie Mays used to spend most of his evenings playing football with the kids on the street. The Giants prevailed upon him that this sort of thing was undignified for a $30,000 a year ball player. Willie Mays, in his own way, always has had dignity. He also has humility. He'll be a ball player the fans will be talking about for years to come. Now, before you meet our special guest, Willie Mays in person, in an interview from the Polo Grounds in New York, and hear about his greatest sports thrill, here is a message of interest to all young men who want to go places faster.
The young men of today have a remarkable range of interests. They enjoy sports, social activities, and they're looking ahead eagerly to the time when they can take up the kind of work that appeals to them most. Right now, here's a word to young men who are interested in mechanics, a word about the wonderful technical training they can get in the U.S. Air Force. Yes, really worthwhile training that gets a young man off to a flying start in career fields such as aircraft and engine maintenance, rocket propulsion, and airborne and ground radar repair, an airman can move ahead rapidly. And, of course, he receives full pay all the time he's learning. So if you're a young man between 17 and 34, eager to develop your technical abilities and learn a well-paying skill, talk to your Air Force recruiter. He'll give you an informative booklet called Pocket Guide to Air Force Opportunities. Ask for it now. Find out how you can go places faster on the all-volunteer Air Force team. Now back to Harry Whistler.
Willie Mays, what was your greatest sports thrill?
Well, my first greatest sports thrill, I said, was playing the World Series against my Alice and Niger. I had a lot of great thrills, but I think I won the best because I always held him as a great ball player, and it was a great thrill to see him playing on the same field with me. And I was in the 1951 World Series, too.
Willie, do you recall the first Major League hit you ever got?
Yes, I was off of one spine, but before then, I was like I was never going to make it because when I first came here, they took me against three good pitchers, Robert, Simmons, and Greenlaw, and they were really throwing the ball pretty good, and I was really young and didn't have the experience of how to hit the ball. I know how to swing, and that was really kind of tough for me until I got the hit off of one spine, and then I went 12 more times before I hit kind of rough.
What is the most important thing to remember about throwing as far as outfielders are concerned?
Well, before you can throw it, well, you got to have a picture in mind of how you're going to throw it and where you're going to throw it. First of all, you got to know if the cutoff man's in the direction of the ball where you're going to throw your base. Second, you got to throw the ball low so the cutoff man can catch the ball to throw it to the opposite base. But most of all, you got to throw it directly overhand so that it will go straight to the cutoff man.
Willie, you are considered a good defensive outfielder. How did you ever develop your basket way of catching a fly ball?
Well, As you know, in 51, I never did do that, but as I went in the service, I had to learn something new, and I just, well, I'll try this special test and see how it worked out. But when I first started, now, it was really hard. I would advise the young kids to do it because it's a very difficult play to make.
Willie, you're doing a lot more running on the bases. Do you feel on your own most of the time?
Well, Harry, to tell the truth, most of the time, all I want to tell the stories are real tight. Maybe the stories are 2-1 where Bill was always saying, well, wait until I give you the skill to go. But other than that, I'm feeling on my own. For instance, I picked like one spawn. They tell me they have only been 2 days stolen off of him, and they're only about 3 weeks. And for myself, it's very hard for me to steal off. But the right-hand pitchers, they are not hard to steal off, but you got to depend on who's pitching. And you got to get a good jump on the pitcher. You don't steal on the pitcher now. You steal mostly on the pitcher. Because if you get a good jump on the pitcher, then how is the pitcher going to throw you out before you can get the ball?
Willie, do you think a ball player is better off taking a short rest during the season?
Well, I don't know, Harry. It depends on the manager. If the manager sees fit for him to have a rest, I think he should give it to him because if he's in the slump, he's not done the club no good by playing every day. But for my opinion, it helps me. At least it did help me. I don't know. My opinion, I think it depends on the manager if he sees fit for him to rest.
What is your best ballpark as far as base hits are concerned?
Well, I like the park in St. Louis and Milwaukee. They're pretty good parks to hit in. And it depends on the pitching, too. Now, if you don't get a good pitch to hit, your ball still not going anywhere.
Willie, did you say the catch you made in the 1954 World Series of a fly ball hit by Vic Woods for the Cleveland Indians was the greatest you've ever made?
Well, Harry, to tell you the truth, I don't think it was the greatest I ever made, but they made so much fuss about the catch that I never, you know, denied it. Because I say about 5 times during the season, I made quite a few catches that was better than that. And the ball that was worse hit, well, it was a deciding game of the World Series, the first game. And they said that it was a blow that really stung them. I don't know about that, but it made so much, you know, fuss about it that I never denied it. It was a pretty good catch from my point of view, I have to say. I don't know. That was other catches. I remember a catch off of Bob Skinner that the ball was higher than it was difficult. It was closer to the batter than this catch off of West. And they had a piece coming out on the bleachers out here in the foreground. And I had to go catch the ball and then go under the piece after I made the catch. Now, this catch off of West, I never did catch the bleachers out here. I could stop and then throw the ball. But the way they say I made the catch, that was so difficult that I had to catch the ball and then throw it back into second base. Well, when I'm catching the ball, I don't worry about how I'm going to catch it. All I want to do is catch it and throw it back in. Because they always told me that never hold a ball in the outfield. Always get it back in this field some kind of way. Somebody will tell you.
Thank you very much, Willie Mays of the New York Giants.
Greatest sports thrills with top personalities in the world of sports is narrated by Harry Whisler, directed by Gene Kirby, written by Arthur Suskin Jr., and presented by the United States Air Force in cooperation with this station. This is Bill Reddick speaking. The preceding was transcribed.